Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
Happy Buffalo Bills Football Monday. Jeremy and Joe, Football Monday brought to you by Northwest Bank. For what's next, get started at northwest.com. A lot of Bengals-Chiefs highlights on right now. Bengals are 0-2, which is pretty much what they do every year. They start 0-2.
Did you see the stat they had yesterday on this? They have the worst record in weeks 1 and 2 in the NFL in the last 6 years. I think it's 1 in 11. I think it's 1-11.
Yeah.
They've started 0-2 five of the last 6 years.
And that's not all Burrow's hurt. They're just slow out of the gate.
Yeah, what is that? Is that Zach Taylor?
Well, their next two are the Commanders and the Panthers.
Okay, so they'll be fine?
You might feel all right about that one.
Okay, yep, they'll get back.
Well, the Commanders, you know, they got to the red zone. They kicked 7 field goals for a combined, I saw this, 213 yards. So 7.
That was the total offense?
Total field goal
total
distance.
Total field goal distance.
213 yards. So an average kick of 31 yards.
So they got in close every time. And then kicked?
Yeah, pretty much. Jeremy and Joe, it's funny, like waking up this morning, Sal's coming in for the Extra Point Show at 10, and he kind of asked the same question. Like, all right, let's do an AFC conversation. He said, who are your top three? The way we asked it was, who's good? Who looks good 2 weeks in?
It's almost like, is there a top three?
Who looks good? The Bills.
The Bills are in it, right?
Yeah, the Bills look good.
The Bills look really good.
Their defense looks very good. Their offense looks very good. I mean, if you were to, I should have looked this up before I came into it, but Sam Martin punts. Like, the Bills haven't exactly had no punt games, but he's not been busy. Their defense has been great.
No, would he have won against the Cardinals? And then?
He's got 5 punts this year.
Okay.
In 2 games.
Were 4 of them in garbage time against the Dolphins?
Yeah.
Also?
Yeah. When they didn't care about a game, they're running out the clock.
Yeah.
The Bills' offense has been good. It's been efficient. They're hitting the passing game to a point. They're hitting in the run game. The defense has been awesome in 2 straight games for the most part. The first half against Arizona, you might not have liked that. But, I mean, the Bills are definitely one of the teams that looks good right now.
I think the most impressive thing, too, is absolutely what they are doing on defense with all the injuries they have. Because every game, there is a team that is doing something poorly, and there, right there, is the announcer, or there's somebody on Twitter to remind you, like, hey, the Rams offense, you know why it looks as bad as it does right now? Because they have a bunch of injuries.
Mm-hmm.
And you know why who else was like this? I guess it was the Rams defense, too. Do you know why the Ravens, you know, blocking looks bad? Because they're missing a lineman, and our line was already poor, I guess. But, you know, there are these injuries around the league that teams are suffering from, and the Bills have their injuries, and they're not even really suffering,
Would they suffer if they're on offense? That's very possible.
If they have the same amount of injuries?
If you pick 3 players from the offense that are the equivalent of Milano, Bernard, and Taron Johnson, who are you taking? It's like Dawkins, Shakir.
And Kincaid.
Might be a little tougher. But, yeah. The point's not lost on me. Like, that their defense is doing it with injuries.
Right. That's a good point, though. Like, they're built to... I think they're built to overcome injuries on defense.
Yeah, the system is pretty good.
Last year, they pretty much overcame it. Even when they were... Remember that stretch in the middle where they were, like, teams... It kind of seemed like teams could do whatever they wanted on the Bills, and, like, their DVOA numbers were bad. It's like, guys, this Bills defense is not the same. And then you looked at the games at the end, it's like, all right, they gave up 24 to the Bengals. Mm-hmm. You know, like, they got them off the field. They gave up 18 to the Bucks. You know, maybe the Patriot game was the one last year that was bad. But they overcame it, and they figured out the answers. So, the Bills, like, McDermott on the defense, and then Allen on offense. Like, they've just got a foundation that not a lot of other teams have on both sides of the football. They have a, it feels like they have a bare minimum on both sides of the football, right? They have a floor, even on offense. Like, I might agree with you that if they lost Kincaid and Shakir and Dawkins, it would hurt more than it would hurt on defense. But even still, they have Allen. What would they be? The 15th best offense in the league? Like, a lot of other teams, they have injuries like that, and they go to the bottom. And I feel like on both sides of the ball, the Bills can't go further than the middle point.
Yeah. It is the next step for this Bills offense, right, is they've played two games, and they really haven't needed too much of their passing game. They certainly didn't need too much against the Dolphins. I mean, Allen was a big catalyst in the Arizona game. They come back from down 14, which is very pedestrian for this team these days. But, you know, the Dolphin game is five catches for Shakir, bunch of targets and catches for Shakir, and no other receiver is really even relevant in the game. And that doesn't have to be a problem. But I do, if I was to say, like, all right, you got 15 more games to play, what's still to determine about this Bills defense? One would be, you know, how do they look against a great quarterback? They played Kyler Murray and Tua, who are middle guys that can definitely sting you. I mean, Kyler looked great yesterday.
He was insane.
And Tua led the league in passing, and the Bills have answers against that team. This week, it's Trevor Lawrence. You know, he's pretty good. Thought to be pretty good. All right, that's a little bit of a test. Then it's Lamar, and then it's Stroud. I mean, they're going to go through all of them, pretty much. They're going to go through the Niners. We've been through this. The schedule is not forgiving. And then the second question would be, you know, if it's a season where your defense is this good, maybe your offense won't have to answer the bell every single time. Maybe concerns about their receivers will be overblown because they won't need them as much this year as they have in years past. I don't know. I'm still eager to see if they can win every type of game. So far, it's the defense that's done the job. In the second half, they do not, you know, they give up next to nothing against Arizona, a kick return touchdown. And against Miami, it was just, you know, domination start to finish. So there's still lots to figure out, but they look like one of the three best teams in the AFC. And you have to give it to Kansas City because you're required by law to include them in the top three, no matter where they are. And after Bills and Chiefs, you know, Texans look okay.
The Bengals, there was another stat. There's a lot of stats from that game. One was before the field goal, they had, in the last six meetings, the Bengals and Chiefs had the exact same amount of points against each other. Like, it was six games worth of meetings between the Chiefs and the Bengals, same point total. And then the Chiefs kicked the game-winning field goals. Maybe it's plus three over six games. The Bengals are 0-2, but they just play the Chiefs great. Right? They're always in it. I mean, the Bills maybe are always in it too. The Bengals, though, like, they are right there every time they play Kansas City. Like, I know they're 0-2, but I don't know. This is what they do every year. They always are slow out of the gate. The numbers prove that. They always play the Chiefs tough. Burrow, I guess, like, there was no wrist stuff yesterday. There was a little bit in week one of, hey, is he moving his wrist weird? Is he following through on his can he pick up the Gatorade bottle? There was none of that really in week two, and he took a bunch of hits too, and he looked fine through it. So they don't even have T. Higgins back yet, right? Like, that might be this week that he comes back. So they're 0-2, but I feel like I gotta put the Bengals in that category still.
It feels like Groundhog Day because the Bengals are 0-2.
It's just
Bills,
every year.
The Bills look good, and the Chiefs look vulnerable, as if we're done in finger quotes. Hey, what year is it?
Yeah, so the script writers are doing the same story again?
Same year, every year.
Even with the Bengals?
Yep, every year. 803-0550, our phone number, have asked via Twitter and on the phones, what did you take away from the NFL's Week 2 slate? I'll tell you something I learned quickly. If you were watching Texans-Bears last night, first off, Caleb Williams has not led them to a touchdown yet. He's not thrown a touchdown or been a part of a touchdown yet.
Yeah, he had one yesterday by Khalil Herbert, who ran it in.
He's had some flashes, but much different than the preseason where it's all on display. Caleb Williams is having a little bit of a tougher time. But one thing I learned, this was very odd. Did you see the play that got challenged yesterday when the throw goes to Diggs? I think it's third and six. And he catches it and turns up and dives for the marker and goes out of bounds.
Yes, yes.
He was marked a yard and a half short.
Yep.
The Texans challenge. And it comes back. This is one of those things like learning how the NFL works, and you tell me if this makes any sense. The Texans are challenging the ruling on the field that the runner was short of the line to gain.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, got it. He dove out of bounds. Did he get the ball past where he has to get the first down? I thought he did.
Mm-hmm.
They marked him short. They did move the ball. They moved the ball and, okay, and re-spotted it. And that counts as a lost challenge. So they watch the play again.
Yeah.
They do move the ball. And they say, but you didn't get the first down, which is what you challenged for. So that's going to cost you a timeout.
Really?
Yes.
I didn't know that because my natural follow-up, which I don't think you can answer, maybe Gene Steratore could, would be, well, what if I just don't challenge the first down marker?
That's what Ryan Fitzpatrick tweeted yesterday.
Yeah.
He said, on this Diggs challenge, why would you ever challenge if he got the first down and not just challenge the spot?
Right. Because if it was, I think technically, hey, if you got a throw on first and 10 that goes for, it went for 6 yards, but the ref marked it 2 yards short. You technically could challenge that, couldn't you? And say, hey, I think he got 6. You marked him for 4.
Yeah.
You could challenge the spot. So why wouldn't you just do that with the first down marker, I guess?
So Fitz asked this question.
Yeah.
And he got the rule book in here. It got kind of deep. Like, this is where, hey, we love football, but we're learning new rules all the time.
There's technicalities.
It feels like we're just making it up on the fly. Yeah. There's a good 10 years we all thought the NFL made rules on the fly. They still might. So if the play happens in the middle of the field, you can challenge whether or not it's a first down, but not the spot. Fitz is asking, in regard to the spot on the boundary, can you challenge where the ball went out of bounds and not whether or not it's first down?
Yeah.
So, I'm not challenging the spot. I'm not challenging whether it's a first down. I'm challenging where it went out of bounds.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah, you can do that.
You can do that?
A challenge is, now I'm into the rule book. It's crazy.
This is nuts.
We did move the ball. We reviewed the play you wanted reviewed. We moved the ball. But that's actually still a wrong. You got that wrong.
So we were wrong, but you were wrong too. So you lose your timeout. Yeah. You lose your challenge.
Yeah. A challenge is successful only if the ruling of whether a new series was awarded is changed, regardless of whether the ball was moved closer to the line to gain, is the rule.
I don't like that. I think you should win the challenge, right?
The
challenge is the ref was wrong on the spot. And the ref was wrong on the spot.
Yes.
Just not as wrong as he hoped.
So maybe D'Amico Ryans was wrong in what he said in jail. Uh-huh. So
there's a different way you could word it.
So there's a new thing for coaches to learn today. Hey, real quick, don't tell the official you want to challenge for the first down. You want to challenge where the ball went out of bounds.
Right.
They lost the challenge on that.
Yeah, I did not know this. I think the NFL has too many technicalities. if this is true.
This is why Gene Steratore is in the booth for moments like that.
Yep.
803-0550. Okay, so takeaways. We'll get some tweets on this. Vinny writes in, of all the AFC contenders, we have the best offensive line so far. That's from Vinny.
Okay. I might not hate that. Pro Football Focus had them 5th in the league going into this week. Like a little bit off week 1, but also like what the preseason projection was. They had them as the number 5 line in the league. And did the Dolphins bother Allen at all on Sunday? There was really nothing, right? Like I don't know how much opportunity they had, though. It was only 19 dropbacks.
Right.
But the Bills ran the ball well. So, I mean, what would that mean also if they have a top line in the conference? That would be a strength of their offense that you might need if your receivers aren't good at getting open, right? My mind goes to, okay, well, if I don't have great separators at wide receiver, what's one way to overcome that? My line gives Allen 5 seconds, and then Allen can give an extra 3 seconds because he runs. And now I have 7 seconds to get open. It's exaggerating a little bit. Is that overreacting? They have the best line in the AFC?
I don't know.
The Chiefs yesterday, their left tackle spot is going to be a problem.
Mm-hmm.
They were taking penalties all day. They had a rookie playing there, and then Wanya Morris came in, and he took a penalty that set up that 4th and 16, right? Hands to the face.
Yep.
The Ravens line looks really bad. The Dolphins line looked bad.
The Jets line.
The Jets line doesn't look great. Like, of the contenders, I have no idea if Houston is a good line or not. I'll say that up front. But I got a couple other contenders that I could say, yeah, like they've got problems on the offensive line. I don't feel like the Bills do.
Yeah, if you're saying just contenders, the Chargers are going to get a lot of love for having a good line.
Okay, right.
But I don't know if they're a contender.
Joe Alt, I saw a highlight package of him shutting down Max Crosby in the first game.
I'm glad you mentioned him. Have you seen his nickname?
For who?
Joe Alt?
No.
I'm
Joe Alt nickname.
Yeah. I'm very...
It's not like Jumbo Joe or something?
No, it's better.
It's better than Jumbo Joe?
I'm very happy to say this. I'm very happy to give you... To tell you that in 2024, we have an offensive lineman nickname, and it's
okay.
And it's awesome.
Can't remember the last offensive lineman nickname. Did Quentin Nelson have a nickname?
Who's... Well, offensive lineman nicknames.
The Fridge. No, he's not an offensive lineman.
He's a defensive lineman. Joe Alt's nickname. Are you ready for it?
Sure, because I don't think...
To a point.
I can't think of another offensive lineman that's ever had a nickname.
Or at least like a meme name kind of surround that goes with him in highlights.
Schnow?
No.
Dawkins?
The Snowman, there's one for...
The Snowman, that's what I mean. Yeah.
Ready?
Okay.
Joe Alt Delete. It's so good. Joe Alt Delete. It's so good.
Joe Alt Delete?
Yes.
That actually is amazing.
It's really good. For an offensive lineman...
I was not entertaining like the keyboard framed a nickname there.
Joe Alt Delete.
Okay. Best offensive lineman nickname in the league right now.
In 50 years.
In 50 years,
I mean,
maybe.
It's so good.
Yeah, that is terrific.
What other offensive linemen had nicknames? Like real honest to goodness
nicknames.
I'm over here thinking about Anthony Munoz. Did he ever have one? Like that's older than you, for sure. You're not going all the way back to Anthony Munoz.
Nope. That's, what, 80s Bengals?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, 80s, I don't go back to 80s Bengals, sadly. The Bills had a group of linemen nickname, right? Well, they had the Electric Company, right? That's kind of close.
Yep. The Hogs.
That's in Washington.
Washington.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So we've groups of linemen.
You don't really get individual linemen getting that.
Okay. This is maybe new territory. And it's a great start if we were just beginning to do offensive lineman nicknames with Joe Alt Delete.
House Ballard is a good one. Guy named House.
His real name wasn't
Howard.
House.
No, it's Howard.
It was
Ballard.
Howard Ballard.
House Ballard.
Okay,
it's good.
I guess I didn't know that. Probably if I thought about it for 3 seconds, I might have figured it out that his real first name wasn't House. House Ballard.
Yeah. 803-0550. I'm so glad you mentioned Joe Alt. Joe Alt Delete.
Mm-hmm. Harbaugh.
Real football is back.
Harbaugh, you know, he's so into these wins against terrible teams. This guy. I'm going to really hate the Chargers, I think, until they play the Chiefs. If they get in the Chiefs' hair. But you beat Carolina. Settle down. The worst team I feel like I've seen in a decade in the NFL. Maybe ever.
Carolina.
Have you ever seen... Well, there's been winless teams, right? Detroit went 0-16.
I mean, Carolina's
guy ran out of the back.
Carolina has a look at it.
At 0-16?
Yeah. Bryce Young, you know, there are busts and then there are busts. Bryce Young is staring right in the face of being, how could anyone have thought this guy could do the job? Joe, his stats from yesterday, his numbers from yesterday, it's almost impossible to conceive someone being this bad at playing quarterback. He threw the ball 26 times for 84 yards. It's almost impossible.
I didn't look at his stat line. 84 yards?
His QBR, you mentioned that Kyler Murray's QBR was a 98.2.
99. Oh, no, yeah.
Or whatever it was.
Yeah, 98.2.
Bryce Young's QBR yesterday was 6. And to drive it home even more, you know how bad everyone knows Zach Wilson was, right?
Uh-huh.
Zach Wilson was terrible. And his EPA, or I got to find out exactly which. He's like Zach Wilson and a half bad. Take all of how bad Zach Wilson was at this point in his career and take half of that, add it on top of it. That's how bad Bryce Young has been. Terrible. Andy in Cheektowaga. Andy, good morning.
Hey, good morning. How are you guys?
Good. Thanks for calling.
I was thinking about a nickname. Wasn't there a guy in the Dallas Cowboys when we played them in the Super Bowl? I think it was Eric Williams. Didn't they call him Eric Big Cat Williams?
Big Cat.
I'm not mistaken.
That sounds... There's definitely been a couple of Big Cats. I mean, offensive linemen and defensive linemen.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. Nate Newton never got a nickname? James Williams was Big Cat.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is that lineman that threw up on a football yesterday going to get a nickname?
That's a good one, too.
He should get a nickname.
Again, like watching the whole league, if you're not at a Bills game, You get an awful lot.
You notice things you might miss otherwise.
And one thing that happened was there's a play in the Packers game where Malik Willis did not throw a ball on a third down, and the play call was to throw the ball.
Yep.
And the reason he didn't throw the ball is because his center had thrown up on the ball before snapping it. The center...
Immediately before snapping it.
The center pukes, snaps the ball...
On the football.
And Willis gets a ball with... puke vomit on it.
Football's gross, man. this happens like weekly, doesn't it? There's a lot of puking out there. Pacheco did it last week, right? You see videos once in a while, like just on the field right before a snap, and then guys play through it like it's nothing. Nasty.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Willis couldn't throw the football because it was slippery, I guess, then. I don't even want to think about the mechanics of it. Super gross.
803-0550, 1-888-550-2550. Buffalo Bills Football Monday, brought to you by Northwest Bank. For what's next, get started at northwest.com. Bit of an around-the-league kind of Monday as we just kind of dip into everything we saw. I'm trying to think of like other games that just flashed. The Niners, Christian McCaffrey to the IR.
Yeah.
That could be... I've seen some saying that could be the season.
I saw, even, was it Rappaport said it could be six or more? Achilles tendonitis. I mean, Shanahan said, I think, Thursday, McCaffrey practiced limited Wednesday and then did again on Thursday. And after Thursday, Shanahan said that was the worst day he's had. And then they put him on IR the next day.
So it's going the wrong way.
So it was going the wrong way. Yeah. So they placed him on injured reserve.
One other thing to watch, Sam Darnold. The Vikings are respectable, and Darnold looks respectably good, which is not good news because the Bills have their second-round pick, and we might have been looking and thinking that Minnesota was going to have a high second-round pick. Now, they still might. They were ready to turn things over to J.J. McCarthy. When McCarthy went out for the year, you might have looked at that as, well, good. That means Minnesota will be terrible. But it's possible they might have gone to McCarthy and gone through growing pains and been okay with a 5-12 kind of season. If McCarthy struggled, but Darnold, who is in, his fourth opportunity? Yeah, Carolina included. Fourth opportunity for Darnold, and it's gone well in 2 weeks.
Fourth team. Third opportunity, really.
That's right. Never got one in San Francisco. That's
And maybe the first time he's had a competent coach.
That's right.
Because he went from... Is it possible he's... I saw some Jets fans tweeting this yesterday. Maybe it was while they were losing. And Darnold threw a 97-yard touchdown to Jefferson. Darnold went from Adam Gase to Matt Rhule. And now he's in Minnesota with Kevin O'Connell, who I think is a good offensive coach.
Yeah.
And basically there was some tweeting by Jets fans yesterday of like, okay, so Rodgers looks old, and this is maybe, even if he's good, what is it, a one-year thing? And there are now...
Go get Darnold. You're saying go get Darnold?
There are two failed Jet quarterbacks in the league yesterday that looked great. Geno Smith threw for 300 yards, and Sam Darnold looked awesome. That'd be like if E.J. Manuel was and J.P. Lossman were just running around out there in the league right now looking great.
There's another franchise that had two quarterbacks that looked great.
Who?
Carolina. Darnold and Baker.
Oh, right.
Baker was in Carolina for a hot minute.
And then the guys that could have had, like C.J. Stroud.
Yeah. 803-0550, 1-888-550-2550. Baker Mayfield and Sam Darnold, since leaving Carolina, 46 touchdowns, 14 interceptions.
Pretty good.
Yep. Marvin Harrison, big day. Bills shut him down. Maybe they didn't realize they had him until yesterday, but he looked pretty good. Bit of a coming out party for some of the rookie receivers, at least near the top of the draft. Not so much Adunze, but Harrison and Neighbors for sure. Jeremy and Joe, we'll talk with Chris Brown, get his thoughts on the Miami game and the league in total about an hour from now as part of Buffalo Bills Football Monday. Of course, a week away, Bills and Jags, Monday Night Football coming up next. Football Monday brought to you by Northwest Bank. For what's next, get started at northwest.com.
Second down, 9. Darnold getting messy, going deep, and he's got Jefferson. He's got Jefferson. It's a foot race downfield with Brown shifting gears, getting a block. That's 6. 97 yards. Holy smokes.
Call that the play of the game. Play of Sunday. A 97-yard touchdown to Justin Jefferson. Buffalo Bills Football Monday. Jeremy and Joe. Football Monday brought to you by Northwest Bank. For what's next, get started at northwest.com. Kind of recapping the weekend that was in the NFL, chatting Bills with you, asking what you took away from the rest of the games. Baltimore, 0-2. Cincinnati, 0-2. Houston's 2-0. Pittsburgh's 2-0. Bills sit there at 2-0. The AFC, reverse AFC power rankings coming your way via Chopin the Bulldogs. Is that today or tomorrow?
Tomorrow.
Yeah, Monday night game. There's no AFC team playing tonight, but
Bills
whatever.
Bills going to be second in that? It's going to be them or Houston.
Right. Yeah, I think there'll be two. I think the Chiefs get it because they always get benefit of the doubt, and the Bills,
yep.
I'd put them at 2 right now.
The other thing I took away from yesterday, the teams were more efficient throwing the ball yesterday by a lot, right? Like, Kyler Murray, if he needed to, probably could have thrown for 500 yards of that game. But the trend of running more is still, like, it's still there. The pass rates by teams, last year, there were 24 teams that were above 50% throwing the ball. 24 teams. And right now, through 2 weeks, there are only 14. So it's almost been cut in half. It's only 2 weeks of the season. Maybe that's, you know, some have pointed to, like, is that preseason reps? And we need to simplify things earlier. So maybe that'll change as the season goes on. But through 2 weeks, like, it's most teams are about 50-50 right now.
Well, one thing, as we monitor this over the course of the season, every time we talk about big league-wide stats, I want to ask the question, why am I evaluating the Bills ever in the same league as Carolina?
Uh-huh.
Or Green Bay with Malik Willis, you know, like who had been with the team for 2 weeks.
Okay.
Or up and down the line, you want to do this.
Like Washington.
Sure.
Yeah.
There's a lot of bad quarterbacking out there. And the Bills, of course, don't have that problem. So they should be one of the pass-heavier teams just by virtue of they have a guy who's way better than most of the guys in the league. But
yep,
that can be a story for another day. You know, watching the early games yesterday, it struck me how many bad quarterbacks I was watching. By comparison to the good quarterbacks.
Yeah. Like, who are the bad quarterbacks right now? Is Levis on that list?
Yeah, sure.
Does he kind of have to be?
Sure.
He is, I mean, nuts.
Richardson and Malik Willis yesterday is a game where, like,
Richardson
was tough.
Rough.
Real tough day for him. He had 9 completions in their first game.
Yeah.
And in this game against Green Bay, it's 17 of 34 for 204.
Yeah.
3 picks.
Yeah.
Like, there's some teams that should probably run it a lot because they're afraid of their quarterback.
Mm-hmm. Denver should be afraid of their quarterback right now. Bo Nix looks tough.
Are the Jets running because they're afraid of their quarterback a little bit? That's my biggest hot take from 2 weeks is the Jets play like they have a game manager at quarterback. They won yesterday.
Yeah.
But, you know, I just think the state of quarterbacking is a part of this. There's two things. The state of quarterbacking and also that quarterbacks run.
Yeah.
Breece Hall got 14 carries. Braylon Allen got 7. Rodgers ran two times for 1 yard. Not one of the running quarterbacks.
No. Not one of them. No, he's not.
803-0550. One other thing to keep an eye on. So maybe you watched the Chiefs and the Bengals and you saw Ja'Marr Chase lose it on an official.
Yeah.
He got flagged for abusive language. He's mad. He's upset. He's going after the official twice. Burrow tries to calm him down. He waves off Burrow, and they get into it a little bit. And we find out what he was mad about. It was a hip. It was a hip drop tackle that went uncalled. We've also got Joe Mixon, who left the game for Houston because of a hip drop tackle.
Mm-hmm.
And he said the NFL and NFLPA made it a rule and an emphasis for a reason. Time to put your money where your mouth is. There was no flag. He was told the play did not violate the ban. You might have missed this from week one against Arizona. Josh Allen got hip drop tackled.
Mm-hmm.
The league, when they made this a rule and said they're going to make it a point of emphasis, they said that it happens about once a week in the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
Once a week. And
has it been called so far through 2 weeks?
I've not seen a game where it has been called. And if you go to NFLpenalties.com, you can look into a lot of different, you know, split up how penalties are called. All you can see is roughness. You can't exactly see what the roughness was. Like roughing the passer might be pulled out, but you don't see hip drop tackle on NFLpenalties.com. At least I haven't seen it yet. So you've got players, now that they know this is a point of emphasis, getting up and asking, where's my flag? Same with with a horse collar, right? When there's a horse collar, a guy will stand up right away and like point to his jersey like, that's a horse collar. Give me that flag. And if anybody out there has seen a hip drop tackle called yet, I've seen a lot of these games so far. I have not seen a hip drop called once. And you've got players asking for it.
Yeah. Warren Sharp also was tweeting about one last week. He said it was a highlight from the Jet Niner game. Perfectly executed hip drop tackle, no flag. There was another one right there. And I'm watching it clear as day. I don't see any reference to one that was called, though, through 2 weeks. Didn't you think the Chase one, though, wasn't the same? Because weren't they going to be very... There was like a technicality. There was like some difference between a hip drop and something else where... Like, I don't know, that Chief player that is tackling Chase, he's kind of got his legs spread out, right? Yeah, like, he's using his weight to drag him down, but I don't think, I don't know. I would want to, again, we could get into the rule book. I don't know if that would graduate to, the exact definition of what they're looking for, but maybe. Who's the CBS rules guy now? It's not Gene anymore, is it? It's somebody else?
For CBS? Sure.
Is it? Because he said he didn't think that it was a hip drop.
Yeah, that's
whoever the rules official was.
The tackle on Chase is not the textbook hip drop at all.
Right, right.
It involves an unweighting of yourself. That's the term we get. You grab a player on the waist. Like, this guy takes him from the top. He's tackling from the shoulders and twists him to the ground.
Yeah, yeah.
You might not like the tackle if you're Chase, but nothing about it is a hip drop tackle.
Right. And then Chase almost like...
He lost it.
Him and Burrow were... They shoved each other, didn't they?
Yeah.
Well, Burrow was kind of shoving him, like, get into the huddle, and Chase was like,
He's freaking out.
He walked over, but he wasn't having it. Like, I think he maybe gave a little shove to his quarterback
He was freaking out. Can I play let me be Ja'Marr Chase's agent and defend him for 2 seconds here? Like, you don't want to get after the official. You don't want to take a flag. Why is he upset? Why is he really upset?
Because he hasn't been paid.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He gets a tough tackle. He doesn't have a contract. He doesn't have the guarantees that he probably should have right now. He doesn't look at Tua. Tua's contract guaranteed him $167 million for injury.
Mm-hmm.
If you get hurt and can't play ever again, here's $167 million.
Right.
Okay, I can go play.
And Chase maybe just saw his money flash across his eyes without having any guarantee that he's going to get it.
If you're a guy like him, and you're out there playing the position of receiver, like it's an important position, you're important to the franchise, you see all the other guys getting paid, you're still not paid, aren't you playing every day mad? Aren't you playing every day resenting your franchise, your ownership, whatever? So, doesn't give him the right to go after an official, but to me, it's a guy that has not been given any sort of long-term guarantees. He's probably playing mad all the time. You know, and if Burrow's like, hey man, easy, calm down. They talk about it after the game, like, Joe, you got your $250 million.
All right.
I don't have anything yet. I'm working on my second contract still. And, of course, they paid Burrow after 3 years.
Is he going to get the diva tag today from some people? Because we do that with all receivers, right?
Of course, yes.
Have any sort of emotional reaction anywhere on the field?
Right. I mean, you want to keep it in check there and not go after the official, but...
Did he cost them at all by doing that yesterday? Like, they end up having to settle for a field goal. What was the down and distance? Like, how much did that play really harm them?
A lot. I mean, it's...
Because they could have got a first down and kept the clock ticking, right?
That's right. And instead, it ends up being, like, third and...
Yeah.
You pull up the game log.
And here we go. So, okay, there was more... That was the second to last drive. So, there were 10 minutes left on the clock.
Yeah.
But it would have been... It would have been third and seven.
Yeah, instead it was third and 25.
Yeah.
And then they pass it and then kick a field goal.
Right.
803-0550. Rob in Connecticut. Hey, Rob, good morning.
Good morning, Jeremy. Good morning, Joe. Yeah, yesterday was actually very surprising wins by teams that I didn't expect to win. New Orleans Saints, that was like a shocker for me. Up 21-3, and like even before halftime, that was amazing. But one of the things that, you know, because I can't see it, but I hear about it, had the Kansas City game on, and I was just wondering, did Chase have a legitimate gripe about the hip drop tackle?
No, and it wasn't really close to anything like a textbook hip drop tackle that they would show on the this is what they're trying to ban. It was nothing like that.
Okay,
he got rolled up on a little bit. It's an awkward tackle, but it's definitely not like the hip drop tackle.
Okay, and then last night I was listening to the game, Golic, the Houston game, and they kept making comments about the hits that Williams was taking.
Oh yeah,
and the one hit, it was a clean hit, and I guess all the linemen came over and they just started scuffling. It was like, come on, it's part of the game. That's what they were saying last night. Was that a clean hit?
I didn't see that hit. I know that I've seen Caleb Williams taking a lot of sacks. And watching some of that game last night, like, he is definitely running for his life.
That defensive end pairing they have is as good as you can get.
That's true.
They pressured him. He was pressured 17 times on 31 dropbacks, like more than 50%.
Yeah. That's causing, too. Austin Gale just had this stat on Twitter. Caleb Williams, 3.0 net yards per attempt, is the worst for any quarterback in weeks 1 and 2 in the last 10 years.
Yeah.
Poor Chicago. You finally got your quarterback. And it's just not off to a hot start. He made some throws yesterday that's like, okay, you can see the arm talent, but they're going to either... I mean, it's a tough matchup, but they're going to need to block better for him because he is definitely somebody that I could see taking a lot of sacks. He's always trying to do stuff back there. He's trying to he had three free rushers on one play. He tried to get around all three of them. Again, I don't know what he's supposed to do. Is he maybe scramble to the edge and throw it away? But
yeah.
That guy in college was like this. He is always trying to make a big play, and there's a couple times where he takes a sack where he probably could have got away with it without taking it.
They mentioned, Sunday Night Football mentioned this, 17% of his completions or attempts in college were when holding the ball 4 seconds or longer.
Okay.
Like long extended plays, right? That's.
I don't know if you could do that in the NFL.
No, he's going to have to be on schedule probably a lot more. A couple texts on the hip drop stuff. Chris writes in, on the CBS broadcast, they said they plan to address hip drop tackles through fines rather than penalties. That's not the rule. They might have said that. That's not the rule. It's against the rules.
Right.
If you get fined after the fact, I got to ask, that's against the rules.
Yeah.
It's a 15-yard penalty now, and they're not calling it. 803-0550, 1-888-550-2550. I did not see the Cooper Kupp tackle, but I have a tweeter saying that the Cooper Kupp tackle looked like it might have been a hip drop. And I see here now, yeah, all right, tracking hip drops. All right. 803-0550. More calls when we get back. Chris Brown to wrap the weekend that was. We start to turn our attention towards the Jaguars, who might be without Gabe Davis. He left with an injury.
Yeah, we'll see. He'll monitor throughout the week.
He got hurt late in that game.
Yep.
803-0550 on WGR.
Yeah. you never want to see that. You know, you feel terrible for them. I think what a lot of people don't realize is the amount of work that goes in their lives when they're not in this building and they're wherever they live in the off season and all the work that they put in there. And, you know, it's still part of their job. You hate when they're not able to play because this is what they do it for. They do it for Sundays and the opportunity to play for a championship. Obviously, feel terrible for him, but he'll approach it the right way. We'll get him back when he's ready.
So when will he be ready? That's Bobby Babich on Terrell Bernard, the pectoral injury. Good morning, Jeremy and Joe. Slice of audio brought to you by Picasso's Pizza, your game day tailgating headquarters. And we'll make this the Barnes Injury Report here on Football Monday. Brought to you by the Barnes firm, Car Crash. For help, call 1-800-8-MILLION. Multiple reports that Bernard has suffered not a tear, but a strain. Kyle Brandt, among others, tweeting out, expected to miss some time, likely a month.
Mm-hmm.
The big thing to watch was always strain or tear. Tear could be like the year. Strain could be 4 weeks, 6 weeks, that neighborhood, depending on how severe it is. So the good news on Terrell Bernard is a lot of the source reporting out there is that it's not a tear, that it's a strain. We'll hear more about Terrell Bernard this week in the lead up to Bills Jaguars on Monday Night Football, an early Monday night game.
Yes.
Not even a late one.
There'll be a doubleheader.
Yeah. There you go. Not bad. Jeremy and Joe, we have a wide open segment. When we get back, if you're on hold, stick with us. We'll get your calls in. What you saw from week two, just got to get to the break. Your calls. Chris Brown, 8:30. It's Buffalo Bills Football Monday. We're calling it a Victory Monday. We can do that. Brought to you by Northwest Bank. For what's next, get started at northwest.com.